Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Yes, it's time once again for another podcast from the Agony Uncles. I'm your Uncle Si.
And I'm your Uncle Dave. And we are the Hairy Bikers. If you thought our cooking was good, which it is, wait till you hear our problem solving. We are the masters of disaster, the demigods of doom. So make sure you get in touch with us with all your troubles.
Yes, you're not alone in this world. Trust us, we're here to help. And all you need to do to contact us is email us at agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. That's agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk.
Now, helping us with your troubles and trials this week is our resident troublemaker, Mr. Jeeves.
Hello, nice to see everyone. And yes, what a busy week it's been. Thank you for all the emails that we've had to the Agony Uncles podcast. This one made us laugh, actually. Bridget O'Shea got in touch and said, hello, Dave, Si, Jeeves and Tash. I saw this photo, thought it might give you a giggle. Thanks for the laughs on the show. You're also witty and caring. It's the perfect Friday tonic. So thank you for that, Bridget. And she sent the pictures, which I know Si liked very much, which is the two chickens. You can apparently get these... Get these frames that you can put chickens on for your barbecue. And it looks like they're riding the motorbikes. What a great thing that was. We're going to put it on the website, hairybikers.com, if you want to see that picture.
Yeah, for a pair of old cocks like us, it was quite a compliment.
And by the looks of those cocks, out of tan. So
they
that's
did.
Good.
They did.
Well and truly roasted.
So some busy time for you. So here we go.
And to give us the posh perspective, here she is, the Rolex to our Timex. The Moe Chandon to our Asti Spumanti. It's posh Tash herself. Here she is. Hello, darling.
Morning. That's a lovely introduction. I like that one. Thank you. Although I might have had a small glass of something sparkly last night, which makes me not as fresh today.
Why?
Oh, really?
Well, Tizer.
Yeah. Appetizer, that's what I had. Yeah.
We've told you before about sport. I mean, it's not good for you.
No, management was out, actually. So the Hairy Biker management, we tried a little get together on a roof in London. And that was really nice to see everybody and have a glass or two. So, yes.
Oh, how nice.
Fabulous.
We're let out on your own.
We're let out, I know.
Right, Uncle Dave, waggle your jingly, what's it, hoojah?
Dum tiddly um bum, ding dong.
Hello, Hairy Bikers. Here is my request. I have got a problem that I must get off my chest. Won't you listen to my story like a hairy jackanory? Cause I heard your advice is the best.
In this week's speeding train of troubles, Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash, you're going to be unpacking these prickly problems. We have fiery beefy bits. We have hand wash willy. We have a problem of passion. And in confidential corner, we have accent agony. But we're going to start with some fiery beefy bits. There's a couple of parts to this. One of them is an email from Sarah Woodrow, who said, "Dear Uncles, I've been trying to find a beef stroganoff recipe for a very long time to replicate one I used to have at a local restaurant in Hove in Brighton some 25 years ago. It was a staple on their lunch menu. I'd have it at least twice a week, so much so that I would call them when I was coming and they'd have it ready for me upon arrival. However, at the weekend, I came across and tried your recipe. The only thing I didn't put in was the brandy, but it was sensational. Actually better than the original one. So thank you so much for making a middle-aged woman very happy," says Sarah Woodrow.
Well, that's very kind.
That's lovely, isn't it?
That's great.
And on the back of that, Kim wrote, "Dear Agony Uncles, I cook your beef stroganoff recipe regularly, but there's an option to flambé the beef. Something I've never been brave enough to try, but it looks really cool when you do it on TV. Is there any risk of explosion? Do I need a fire extinguisher handy? And how can I do it safely, please?" Asks Kim. Over to you.
Don't wear hair lacquer, because your bonnet might go up. But other than that, no, you just light it. And alcohol goes off pretty quick. It like burns off pretty quickly. And it's a cool thing to do. You don't have to put a lot in, just what it says in the recipe and give it a go. It's great.
Yeah, and if you're worried about kind of like if you've got a bottle in your hand and doing that thing, the flame shooting up and igniting the bottle and forming itself into a Molotov cocktail, just pour your required quantity into a little glass, splash it in, warm it up, tip it in and woof.
Woof.
And it does add a nice flavour to it as well. It's not all for show, is it, Kingy?
No, I don't. Yeah, exactly that, mate. You just get a little edge of caramelisation on the meat and the stroganoff. It's really good. It's
a little
great.
Woof.
A little woof. Mm. A little woof to Uncle Dave's waggle finger.
As we're always honest on the podcast, it's funny, one of the first meals way before the bikers that I cooked Kingy when I lived in Scotland and the family were coming up, I cooked Rick Stein's beef stroganoff.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing way of making a small amount of fillet steak go a long way. Like two fillet steaks will feed four people. And the fillet steak cuts so quickly with the flambé, but it's so nice, and we serve that with skinny chips. I remember that when we were in Port Testy, Kingy. And it was just so good.
I still, every time I think of stroganoff, I think of that stroganoff that you was.
Yeah.
Epic. It's how you have those associations with people and food.
Do you know,
I mean, we've got like 30 years of that, but you know, it's funny, isn't it? It's like me, and it's like you with belly pork. I always it's just that association that we have.
Yeah, I remember the belly pork you did when you were living in Wrighton, and you did it on the barbecue, the belly pork strips, but it's just perfect. You know, where it's crispy and soft. It's never been like that, but as I said, it was Rick Stein's. But we cooked our beef stroganoff outside the Hermitage in St. Petersburg. Can you imagine doing that now?
Wow.
We set up a gas stove and a table and cooked stroganoff. And then we
hello! Das Vidania!
Do you have permit? Yes.
Do you have? Where's permit?
I've got to admit that we couldn't get a chip fryer going, so we went to a certain fast food restaurant round the corner from the Kremlin and bought four packets of their skinny fries. See, we're honest on this.
Yeah,
I like that.
It's all coming out now. I like the idea, actually, because I need some new recipes for red meat. And yes, I'm going to do a stroganoff now. That's totally inspired me.
Oh, honestly, Tash, it's so fast. And so great. It's lovely. Yeah. It's lovely. I love it.
So quick, isn't it? You know?
Is it? I just thought it's
yeah,
so
it is.
Not,
yeah.
So it's not something you have to casserole particularly.
Process,
it's literally, it's all on the frying pan.
No.
It's a flambé and it's a stirring.
All in the pan.
Mm. Yeah, if you use mushrooms and stuff, and if you use fillet steak, it really doesn't take long at all. And just shred it really thinly. And funnily enough, the finer it is, the kind of better it is in the melange. Yep.
That's what you did. Oh, yeah. So good.
And then you can mash your chips up in the sauce.
I might do it on Saturday, actually. Dave,
you did it with... You can also do it. You don't have to use fillet, because I think you did it with sirloin, didn't you? The sirloin steaks were really thin.
Yeah, I think so,
So good, man. So good.
Mm. Well, everyone's mouths are watering now. You'll be pleased to know that if you go to thehairybikers.com, the amazing Barry has put the recipe up there right at the front, so you can find that very easy. And handy for Tash, because she's going to do it on Saturday.
If
so
my
we'll
in-laws are listening, they'll know what they're getting for dinner now.
Excellent.
There you go.
I met them at Pub in the Park. They're very nice.
Yes. Oh, bless them. I know. They were going and I'd forgotten to sort of give you the heads up. And then I gave you the heads up and they said, oh, we found him. We got him. But he had to rush off. But they were thrilled.
It was such a shame I wasn't able to spend a bit more time with them. But they were lush.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Excellent.
A couple of oddies with it to wash it down. Just the job.
Oh, yes, mate.
Nice.
Let's kill the in-laws off on Saturday afternoon then. They did like you, Si, but now they might not like you both that much after that.
Food makes everything better.
Time to move on to our next problem, which is called a hand wash willy. And this has come up. What I was particularly delighted was that the lady in question said, I've already changed my name just so that Tash doesn't have to come up with a name. You see, people are being sympathetic towards you now.
That's kind. I quite like the fun of it.
I know. Don't worry. Your time will come. Rosie says, dear my fantastic hairy uncles and Tash, there's something that has been becoming more and more of a trigger for me, and it feels like it really shouldn't be. Am I overreacting or do you understand this?
Yes.
Here's the problem. Yes. As I'm going through life, says Rosie, I seem to be able to expect more and more that men will not wash their hands after using the bathroom, and that's just meant to be okay. Or perhaps no one's willing to make a fuss by calling them out. For example, it's a 50-50 when my stepdad leaves the bathroom as to whether he's washed his hands. Sometimes I can hear the flusher loudly going as he opens the door. Well, that only takes a few seconds to finish flushing. So I know when he hasn't washed, because even if he just rinsed his hands and quickly wiped them, there wouldn't be enough time. And after that, It's not unusual for him to offer me a cup of tea while he's up and proceed to pick up the mug by the rim with his fingers, and I'm starting to reject his offers, as my brain thinks, I don't want your penis germs on my cup, thank you very much. Another example, I do surveys outside in my job. One in particular, I had to kayak to a site. Very glamorous. But whilst going down the river, the man I was surveying with that day said, we should pause in this section so he could water a tree. And then he said, well, give me your hand to get back in the boat. And I was thinking, I don't want to touch your hands, thank you very much. Do men think that no one else notices, or do they think it's not an issue, or is it just that no one ever dares question them on it? Makes me feel uncomfortable. Don't know what to do. Help, says Rosie. Over to you.
Well, the only thing, you should wash your hands when you've been for a pee.
Yes.
And certainly absolutely. Double sort if you're anywhere near food. I remember once in a restaurant in Soho, it was a really, those really busy, massive restaurants. And I was in the gents, and the staff from the kitchen and also the waiting staff came in, and none of them washed their hands.
Ooh.
And when they'd been for a pee. And I just thought it was just so grotesque, really. You know, like even since the early days, we'd be filming in a ditch somewhere. And if we did have to water a tree, we'd come back and use sanitizer and tissues before we even touch food again. But now, she's right. She's right. And I think there was a survey once, was it? They analysed, you know, the peanuts on a bar.
Oh.
They analysed the bowl of peanuts and they found 20 men's different kind of DNA thingies in the nuts.
They actually say that there's a kids' science programme, actually, and they offered an iPad, a wooden chopping board and a toilet seat. And which one would you eat off? Which one would you think is the cleanest to eat off? And everyone said, OK, the chopping board, because you associate it with food. And actually, you could get less germs off the toilet seat than you would off an iPad or a wooden chopping board.
Yeah.
That's disgusting, isn't it? I mean,
that's
that
horrible.
Is just
blah. It's just common. It's just hygiene. It's personal hygiene. It's minging not to wash your hands after you've had a. I mean, we're religious about it, Dave, aren't we? To be fair, but because we're around food all the time. But it's the way we've been brought up. You go at the loo. You wash your hands, man.
I think so.
Even if you haven't necessarily weed on your fingers, I mean, that's not a normal occurrence, but having touched your nethers, it's just kind of polite. Just give your hands a quick rinse.
Hold on a minute. Is it not?
What?
Not normal to wee on your hands.
No.
I think I'm doing something wrong. Again.
No, that was when your leathers, that was when your leathers were too tight and you couldn't get it out.
I love it. I want to give her a bit of hope, though, because of COVID, I'm finding that my youngest child is absolutely obsessive about washing his hands. So not in a point that it's worrying, you know, it's not OCD level, but actually I've never had to tell him. Most small children, you say, please go and wash your hands. You know, don't forget to wash your hands. But you just don't, because they've become a generation who was so obsessed with having to wash their hands because of COVID, that he's the one now that calls everyone else out upstairs, going, oh, turn the tap off, put the tap on again, have you washed your hands? There's no more soap left. He's so conscious. So I feel there'll be a generation of men, to give her hope, that will come out, will only be washing their hands. No one would be rude enough not to.
One would hope so. But it's indicative, isn't it, of a kind of lack of... You know what, right, and it's kind of similar to nobody indicating anymore on a roundabout.
Yeah.
It's like... It's indicative of, like, you know, people throwing
sloppiness.
It's just sloppy. And yeah, exactly, Dave. Exactly that. Just, it's horrible.
But even worse in restaurants, you know, because then you're in food as well.
Yeah.
Around food. And, you know, like a chopping board thing. That's why people have different coloured chopping boards.
Yeah.
You know, at home, you've got one big chopping board. But even at home, I still use a separate chopping board for meat.
Yeah.
You know, I won't allow any meat on my board. That's okay. The other chopping boards for veg and bread and anything gets chopped on that and cleaned. But meat, chicken, everything, separate board.
And
chopping meat on your toilet seat's just difficult. You know,
yeah, it is.
It's not easy.
But mind you, if you're chopping onions, it's all right because the skin and everything goes down the pan.
Yeah, that's true.
So actually, it's very, very efficient. Can work. The other thing I hate as well is, it's people at home put a tea towel or the hand towel on the chopping board.
What? And then
you
chop
know, rather
on
than
that?
A hook, you just throw it down on the counter,
or
throw it down on the counter to where you're doing food.
Yeah, that's minging.
Okay.
That's minging.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because everything from your hands then going to your food, blah blah. You know, it's It's that, and people use a tea towel to wash the hand, wipe the hands on. Yeah. You need a hand towel and a tea towel. Doesn't have to be fancy, can be a scrap of old crap, but you do, you know, it's different.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're mixing germs, aren't you? Yeah.
Yeah, poor as we were in Barra, you know, when I grew up, we still had, you know, I got such a roasting if I wiped my hands on the tea towel. That was for drying the pots, David.
Pots, yeah.
In my house, I had to shout outside as my teenager went to go on the bicycle to school the other day. And when it's wet, came in, grabbed the tea towel, wiped the bicycle down all over, put it back in, hung it up again. And I was like, excuse me. If you just wipe down that bicycle with that tea towel, there will be the laundry basket.
In the laundry.
Well, listen, Rosie, it sounds like that we all share your concern there, but Tash has hope that things will turn around because COVID has made everyone a bit more conscious about washing their hands. But yeah, you should call people out. Just shout at them. You washed your hands or what?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Can I quickly ask, interject, because I don't have a dog and you guys do. That hot for me, the whole poo picking up thing is why I possibly couldn't do a dog. You pick up your dog's poo in a bag and then you go for a walk. Do you feel a bit sort of because you picked up a poo and then go home and wash your hands? Or is that kind of accepted you don't?
No, Lil always carries it because I can't do it. It kind of keeps you warm as well in the cold weather, doesn't it? You
know? Stop. Yeah. No.
Yeah, I'm warm, yeah.
Yeah.
Minging.
Oh. I'll take the bloke who hasn't washed his hands in the toilet.
If you got problems, you'll be fine. Just drop the agony uncles a line.
It's time to move on to our next problem, which is called a problem of passion. And now it's time for Tash to shine. Yes, sorry, Tash, you're not getting away with it this week. One female name, please, which means we head over to our head of single names, Posh Tash.
Around me today, I'm always inspired by what's around me. I've got a bottle of champagne, I've got a magazine on pirates, and I've got a packet of shoelaces. So I'm going to go lacy, because I can't think of anything else.
Very good.
Lacy.
Very good. Well, that's good. So this comes from Lacy, who says, Dear Uncle Si, Uncle Dave, Posh Tash, and the Duke. I love your podcast. It cheers me up every week and never fails to give me a good chuckle. And I'm hoping for some advice. I've been with my partner for over 4 years. We live together and in general are very happy. But I know that over time, the intimate relationships between a couple can dip and change. And we seem to have hit a real dry spell. I'm unsure on how to approach it. Since being together, we've both gained a little weight. Not a lot, maybe a couple of stone each. And recently, when I asked my partner why it's been so long since we've been intimate, and by I say so long, I mean 7 months now, he said he just doesn't feel good about himself. Now, I've told him that I still find him attractive. I don't make any jokes about either of us being a bit cuddlier than we used to, and I try to tell him often that I'm attracted to him, but it doesn't seem to have any impact. And any hints or even firm nudges towards the bedroom fall flat, and it's starting to affect me. I've also been worrying recently that perhaps it's me he's not finding attractive, but he says that's not the case. The thing is, I don't know how to get out of this slump and how to re-find our sexual spark. We both have quite stressful jobs, and he isn't also one for talking much, which doesn't help either. Any advice, asked Lacey. Over to you.
I think, you know, you need one thing would be just to get out of that rut and routine in your day-to-day life, if indeed you're in one. You know, sometimes, like, you know, if you can afford it, go away a weekend in a hotel, change that dynamic.
Yeah.
You know, like you used to, go out and have a date night meal. You know, then get back to the hotel and, you know, just have a cuddle and see what happens, but have a laugh.
It's his headspace that's a problem, isn't it? Because he's got his headspace, he feels unattractive. And so therefore, it's really hard for her to change that mindset no matter what she says. But apart from the fact, you don't need to lose weight, but often if you go and do exercise, then you feel better about yourself. But what if they went out for long walks together or go out and do things together? Because when you're out and about and you're stimulated, you feel better in your body. You feel like you deserve to sit down or collapse into bed. And I'm wondering whether that's the way, because he needs to get into another mental headspace to feel good about himself.
Shag in the bush.
Shag in the bush is the other answer we were going to give you.
I mean, why not? If you're out there, you know. What's the problem with that?
Yeah, a bit of spice in life, yeah?
Yeah.
It's funny. It's when you first meet, you're like rabbits, aren't you? And you can't stop yourselves, any opportunity. And maybe, I say it's that routine, isn't it? You know, oh, it's Sunday morning, here we go again. You need to break that off and start to date again.
Well, he's just not seen anything to break off recently, has he? I mean, you know, if his libido has gone south,
He needs to get it back too in his head.
He needs
to feel like he's taking a lady out, not necessarily just with a person he's got too familiar with. You know, it's that mental change, really.
Don't you think as well, though, guys, that if you start to look after yourself, like maybe exercise or take some vitamins and stuff, it's just those little incremental steps that change that mindset and go, actually, well, I am trying to look after myself. I'm trying to do a little bit, I'm trying to lose a little bit of weight. I just want to feel good about myself again. But that's a mental journey that only he can take.
Exactly.
She can encourage him and support him. But and the same for her, you know, it could be like, well, why don't we try and shed a little bit of timber together, and then you might find your joie de vivre again. I mean, there's drugs you can take, like, you know, that'll get you going again, apparently.
But you've got to kind of, I don't know, you just got to get that passion back and break the routine monotony. I think King is right, you know, and also a bit of self-maintenance. It might not involve a diet or anything, just kind of, you know, try and do a few bits for yourself. You just go and get a haircut and, you know, tidy your bits and pieces up, you know?
Manscaping.
Exactly. But there's a bit of that... You'd want to jump into bed with somebody because you fancy them physically, of course, but often you end up in bed because you fancy their personality, because you've laughed and because you've cried together. Look at Si just going, no, you know, I'm a woman talking now.
Sorry. Forgive me.
Yeah, my shag in the bush needs a definite hard work beforehand of laughter and fun and joyous moments on merry-go-rounds. But I'm just thinking you'd need to laugh together again and remember why you like each other as a person, because then the fancying and jumping to bed bit is the fun bit, because you're so relaxed with each other, and maybe he's stiffened up, or he hasn't.
That's a problem, isn't it? And did you actually just say joyous moments on merry-go-rounds? You did, didn't you?
Oh god.
She's been reading The Joy of Sex again.
She has. I love it so, ma'am. I mean, maybe, I don't know. I mean, I'm personally not into it, but, you know, what am I going to say?
Into what, Si?
I was just about to say, you could look at some naughty films together, I don't know, to get yourself going. It's rather like warming the pies for somebody else to have a go at, isn't it? All of that. It's all a bit weird. I don't know. It's not easy. I feel for her. Yeah, I do.
I feel for him as well.
Exactly. It's a two-way street.
And I think, like everything, if you've lost your way a bit, you could always get help. You know, if you can persuade him to talk to somebody else. But what I think's great is that you're kind of speaking about it and realising there is a bit of a problem, you know, before it just explodes, either one of you goes off with somebody else or everything disintegrates, you know?
Yeah. You know what? He's already said he doesn't really feel good about himself. Maybe she's to ask more. What is it you don't feel good about? Is it your stomach, or is it the fact you might not be able to perform like you used to, or is it because I've got a giant mole on the back of my back? If she can get to the bottom of what that is, then they can work on that together, or she can reassure him that doesn't matter to me, or we can go around it this way. So I think you're right. As we go back to every single time, just talk to each other.
Yeah, talk to each other, and as Dave was saying before, just spice it up a little bit, you know. And there's a whole
merry-go-rounds and bushes are one answer.
Save up, have a nice hotel, treat yourselves, nice crisp sheets, different environment, and you know what I mean.
Yeah,
bottle of champagne.
Let the train leave the station.
Yeah, and get yourself all the way from Gateshead to Newcastle.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, there you go, Lacey. I hope that helps you, and good luck for the future. And I think we've learnt a couple of things here. First of all, Si likes it in a bush. And if you want to try and pull Posh Tash, you're going to have to put in a shitload of work before you get anywhere near the bedroom.
Take a good joke book. She likes a laugh.
It's just birthdays and Christmases for me in my house. So don't worry about it. It's only twice a year he has to try that hard.
Okay. but hey, I tell you what, depending on the time of year, it's a bugger to find a merry-go-round, I tell you.
Yeah, it really is.
I'm sorry. I can just see Tash on this like big horse with a hair flowing in the background and like leaning back and sort of merrily going, oh!
Si's having a personal fantasy alert.
I was
Lady Godiva syndrome.
Yeah.
Yes, top bollock naked. That would be great, wouldn't it?
Right, now, very unfair. I like gay abandon.
Well, if you're down, now don't get drunk. Just send an email to the Agony Uncle.
It's time to head to Confidential Corner. And this one is called An Accent Agony. We need one female and one male name for this. So Uncle Dave, female, please. And Uncle Si, a male name.
Kathy.
Kathy.
Felix.
Kathy and Felix. So this comes from Felix. Felix says, hello, Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash. Please help. I am an actor, though not a famous one. I've been dating a lady, Kathy, for the past month. I met her in a pub in Plymouth. Well, sort of. She was there with some friends. I noticed they used to go every Friday, and I overheard her once saying how much she fancied men with Irish accents. You see, I really liked her. So, after a solid week of watching Father Ted and Line of Duty, I reckoned I had the Irish accent down pretty well. Then arranged to bump into her. And hey presto, we've had four dates. Three of them revealed her to indeed be passionately turned on by the Irish accent. The problem is, although I've told her I'm from Ballykissangel, I'm actually from Berkshire, and keeping this accent up all the time is a real nightmare. Also, she wants to meet friends and family, all of whom would be quite concerned and wondering why I suddenly sound like James Nesbitt. I really like her, and we have loads in common, so I want to admit the truth. But how? Asks Felix.
Ah, dude, you just got to do it. You kind of keep that up, man. Are you mad? You kind of, you know, hello, Dave, how are you? Hey. I mean, it's just not, it's not going to work, is it, Dave? It's not.
Oh, no, the Irish, they charm the knickers off a pope, don't they?
They do.
It's very it is a very attractive accent, you know.
It's very lyrical and
it's
soft.
Very, very soft and
yeah,
lovely.
I like
No, I can see where she's coming from. Like.
No, actually, Felix, we're talking bollocks. Keep it up.
You could, and actually, as well, if you go to live in Southern Ireland, I think it's 10% tax for artists.
Right,
so
you're
on a win-win all the way. Just keep that accent. Then, of course, when you come back and get a, you know, get a job in EastEnders and you go all estuary, then she's just going to think you're a brilliant actor.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, but we know, we've worked with actors all our lives, and you never know what you're going to get with an actor anyway, so you might as well keep it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Remember once I did, when I was working as a makeup artist, I did a film with that actor, Alessandro Nivoli. He's quite big now, big Hollywood actor. And he's American. But he came over and he's playing an Englishman. And his English accent was brilliant. But what he said was, because I met him at first, he says, I'm just going to talk in English accent now. All the time the film's being done and off screen.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so keep into it. When we wrapped at the wrap party, he started speaking his American accent. It was so funny. Like some of the riggers and the, you know, the scaffolders, the butch centre, the crew, they all thought, look at that now. He's done one film and he already thinks he's in bloody Hollywood. I have to tell you, he's a really good actor. But, you know, it was astonishing how he could speak with that with a normal Southern English accent.
It's
that
clever.
He fooled everybody for 3 months.
Wow.
That's proper acting. I am thinking that he needs to sit her down and go, I've got something to tell you. And then just keep talking in the other new accent. Just go back to Berkshire and just keep on talking. And she'll suddenly go, what has happened? And he goes, that's what I had to tell you. And then the accent's gone.
Well, Kingy's got away with this four Geordie accent for years.
Yeah.
Haven't you?
Yes, yeah,
give me your Rada voice, Simon.
Yes, well, I talk like that normally. With the whole Geordie thing, it seems to have worked for Dave and I over the years, darling, wouldn't you say?
Oh, please take me on a merry-go-round.
Oh, what about a bush?
What's worse is when you get posh people who try to downgrade their accent to be one of the boys, and you go, oh, all right, mate. You know,
You know what? I'm going to have to confess, and you might hate me for it, but I'm one of those people in a black cab with my... I just want to have a nice conversation. When I lived in Canada, I also slipped into the accent. I slip into it because I think subconsciously I'm thinking I'm making people more comfortable, and it's so awful. I know I do it. My husband elbows me all the time going, why are you trying to talk like a Canadian? You're not Canadian. Or why are you trying to talk like a cabbie? You're not a cabbie.
Yeah, but
he does that in an Italian restaurant. Oh, he's like,
terrible.
Shut up, Kingy.
Kingy, shut up, will you? We're in, like, Blackburn. Some people are just natural mimics, and you fall into it. And it's not until your mate goes, why are you talking like that? And I'm going, what?
You're not from Dallas.
You're not from what? And it's like, oh yeah. We have to ask our James to come back. You know, James, my son. He'll lose himself by somebody that he's just met on a bus and he likes their accent and it's and then for 3 days you've got this random bloke from the bus. You go, where have you gone? Can I just have my son back, please, with your normal voice? It's weird. I think people are natural mimics, and I think it's kind of good that.
But he's locked in now, isn't he?
He's pooped in, he now.
Yeah. I just have a laugh about it. Where you are? Sense of humour then.
Yeah.
Well, she should be flattered, shouldn't she? I mean, he's gone to all that effort to do that for her.
Yeah. It's what I do for a living. I want you to make you happy, love.
Mm.
Love.
But what if she bins him on the basis he's not got an Irish accent?
Well, then he goes on to a Welsh accent and pulls somebody else. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's like...
I'll try a Brummie accent and really go for it.
Yeah. Well, okay, Felix, I think I think you've got various different views there, but if you can keep it up, it sounds like Si reckons you should just carry on. Adopt a whole new identity and enjoy the rest of your new
family
life.
It's the family that's the problem, because you're going to have to get them in and they're going to have to practice their accent, so you're going to have to coach them and it all gets a bit too complicated.
There's a film here, King. You can imagine it's like an Ealing comedy, isn't it?
It is.
Imagine mummy and daddy around there with sister Zoe, you know, and all the little ones, and they're all trying to speak Irish, and they're all around there in the parlour in Berkshire and just tried to say that. Well, no.
Brilliant.
Now, 1, 2, 3, here we go.
If your life's in a mess, then the email address is theagonyuncles@thehairybikes.co.uk. Yeah.
You know, solving all your problems is draining. You know, it's time for me, Scientash, to head off to a sauna and a rub down with wet lettuce. Thank you so much for writing in and sending in your troubles. It's great to hear from you.
It's also super easy to get in touch, so don't forget, just drop us an email and send it to agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk.
Then make sure you follow or subscribe so you don't miss the new ones when they come out. It's a little ray of podcast sunshine for your Friday morning.
So until next week, it's goodbye from Tash.
Bye-bye.
The thin white duke himself.
Goodbye.
And from me and me best mucker.
Yeah, ta-da. Bye-bye.